Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep into one of the most effective old-school DNB and jungle moves you can make in Ableton Live 12, slicing a bass wobble and turning it into a playable, rearrangeable sample instrument using only stock devices. This is not just sound design for the sake of sound design. This is about taking a single bass phrase and editing it like part of the rhythm section. That's a huge part of classic drum and bass energy. The bass doesn't just sit there in long notes. It talks to the break, it hits, it leaves space, it comes back with attitude. That's the vibe we're building here. We're going to start with a wobble bass source, resample it, slice it into pieces, and then resequence those slices so they feel like a real bass performance. Along the way, I'll point out a few pro moves for keeping the low end solid, the slices punchy, and the groove locked into the drums. First thing, set the context. Put your project somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. That range instantly puts you in jungle, rollers, and old-school DNB territory. Now load a breakbeat or at least a simple drum loop that gives you the right conversation to work against. You want kick and snare energy, plus some ghost notes or chopped hats if possible. The point is not to write the bass in isolation. The point is to hear how it reacts to the drums. Before you even touch the synth, decide what role this bass is going to play. Is it a drop hook? Is it a call and response line? Is it a rolling stab pattern that stays busy but short? That choice matters, because in this style the bass is often about phrasing more than sustain. Shorter phrases usually hit harder and leave more room for the break. Now build your original wobble using stock Ableton devices only. A strong starting chain is wavetable or operator, then auto filter, then saturator, then a compressor or glue compressor, and maybe a very light echo if you want some extra texture before printing. For the synth, choose a saw-like or square-rich tone. Keep the voices reasonable. Don't go huge and smeared unless that's part of the aesthetic. You want a strong fundamental, some mid-range harmonics, and a clear wobble movement. Set the low-pass filter somewhere in the 120 to 250 Hz zone depending on how much bite you want in the mids. Then assign LFO or modulation to the filter cutoff, and try wobble movement that sits musically with the track, usually somewhere around 8th note or 16th note motion. Use a bit of saturator drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, but leave headroom. Don't print a clipped mess unless you intentionally want that. The source should already have personality, but it doesn't need to be final. Think of it as raw performance material. Now write a short MIDI phrase. Keep it simple. 1 or 2 bars, 4 to 8 notes max. Don't overpack it. Give it some breathing room. A really useful old-school trick is to use repetition with just 1 or 2 intentional changes. Try root notes, octave jumps, maybe a minor second or a flat 5 for tension, and 1 or 2 passing notes that answer the snare. Rhythmically, think about placing notes on the end of one, maybe a short hit before the snare, a gap after the snare, then a follow-up stab on beat 3 or the end of 3. That kind of phrasing gives you something slice-friendly. If the MIDI is too dense, the resampled result becomes hard to edit cleanly. Next, resample the performance into audio. Create an audio track and set the input to resampling, or route the synth track internally if you prefer. Record at least 4 bars, ideally 8 if you want options. Capture 1 clean pass. 1 pass with slightly different automation and maybe 1 with a different filter position or wobble depth. Record longer than you think you need. That's a good rule here. You want enough material to find the strongest sections and some useful transitions. In jungle and DNB, a lot of the groove lies in the exact interaction between the bass tone, the envelope, and the breakbeat. Once you print it, that interaction becomes fixed, and that's a good thing. It means you can chop it like sampled material and treat it as part of the arrangement. Now comes the core move. Take the best section of audio, then right-click and choose slice to new MIDI track. For a rhythmic bass phrase, transient slicing is usually the best place to start. If you want a more deliberate reordering, you can slice by eighths or sixteenths instead. Ableton will create a drum rack with simplers loaded per slice, and that's your new instrument. This is where it gets fun. Each bass hit is now a playable pad. If the phrase is tonal and has meaningful pitch movement, use fewer slices and let them be a little longer. If it's more percussive and stabs harder, slice tighter and make it behave almost like a broken-up breakbeat. Open up a few key slices in simpler and make sure they behave properly. One-shot mode is great for short hits. Classic mode can be useful if you want a bit more envelope control. Usually, warp can stay off for short bass slices unless you really need timing correction. Trim the start and end points tightly, so you're not carrying unnecessary silence. Set the attack very short, around 0 to 2 milliseconds, so the hit feels immediate. Release can live somewhere around 40 to 120 milliseconds, depending on how sharp you want the tail to be. If a slice has too much mud, shorten it. If it's too thin, allow a touch more tail. And remember, the goal is not perfect polish. The goal is controlled roughness. That slightly imperfect energy is what makes old school bass edits feel alive. Now resequence the slices like you're editing a drum break. This is the real composition stage. Don't just play the samples randomly. Give each slice a job. Think in roles, not just notes. One slice can be the accent. Another can act like a lead stab. Another can carry the low end anchor. Try repeating one slice 3 times, then answering with a different one. Leave intentional gaps before the snare. Use 2 adjacent slices to make a stutter effect. Mirror the drums by placing bass hits around ghost notes instead of directly on top of everything. For example, in a 2-bar loop, you might hit on beat 1, do a quick double on the end of 1, then leave space into the snare. In bar 2, you could answer on the end of 2, hold something a little longer on beat 3, and land an accent on the end of 4. That kind of phrase has movement, but it still feels like part of the break. Use velocity as arrangement language too. Harder velocity for the main statement hits, softer velocity for replies and pickups. Even if the sample is already aggressive, those velocity changes help the part feel performed instead of sequenced by a robot. And don't overfix the timing. A slightly late hit before the snare can feel amazing in jungle. That loose tight tension is part of the magic. If the groove feels too straight, try a little groove pull swing. Keep it subtle. You don't want the bass fighting the drums. You want it sitting inside the pocket. Around 10 to 25% timing influence is often enough. But let your ears decide. Once the sequence is working, treat the drum rack like a proper bass instrument bus. Group it and process it carefully with stock devices. EQ 8 is your first stop. Clean up any rumble below the useful sub range, and if you hear ugly harshness, take a careful dip in the upper mids. Then add saturator if the slices need more density or lost aggression during trimming. Glue compressor can help the slices feel like one instrument again, but use it gently. Too much compression and you flatten the life out of the edit. Utility is crucial here too. Keep the low end mono. If needed, set width to 0 on the lowest layer. And if you want a bit more weight and punch, drum bus can work, but lightly. A good rule of thumb is to keep bass mono below roughly 120 Hz. If your slices sound great solo but fall apart in mono, simplify them. Club translation matters more than fancy stereo tricks in this style. Now let's talk about arrangement, because this is where the technique really earns its keep. Don't leave the sliced bass as a static loop. Jungle and old school D&B thrive on tension and release over 8 and 16 bar blocks. Use automation to keep the phrase evolving. Great automation targets include filter cutoff, saturator drive, reverb sends on just a few select slices, or even subtle utility gain moves before a drop. You can also automate slice selection or start position if you want more variation. A strong arrangement might run the main sliced bass for 8 bars, then remove 1 or 2 slices for a breathing section, then bring in a more distorted answer phrase, and finally strip down to sub only or 1 hit per bar before the next section. That kind of evolution keeps the listener locked in without exhausting the sample. Repetition is powerful in D&B, but controlled variation is what keeps it feeling engineered rather than looped. If the sliced bass lost consistency in the low end, split the rolls. Let the sliced rack handle the movement and mid-range character and add a separate sub layer underneath with operator, wave-eatable, or even a clean simpler sign. Keep the sub simple, root notes only, longer notes, hard low pass, fully mono. That separation is huge. It lets the chopped bass stay expressive without wrecking the club translation, and it makes the drop feel bigger because the sub stays stable while the sliced mids move around it. A few advanced variations are worth trying once you've got the basic workflow down. You can make 2 different slice maps from the same source, one using transient slicing and one using fixed 1/8 note slicing, and switch them between sections. You can also resample the same wobble twice with different filter positions, one darker and one brighter, then use them as call and response layers. Or build a stutter lane by duplicating just 1 or 2 slices onto a second MIDI track and using them for quick fills before snare turns or resets. Another good trick is to preserve one signature gesture. Keep one repeating slice or rhythmic motif that comes back every 4 or 8 bars. That gives the listener something to latch onto, while the rest of the pattern mutates around it. That's a very old school move, and it works because it gives the bassline identity. Also, test your bass at low volume. This is a big one. If the rhythm still reads quietly, the phrasing is strong. If it only works when it's loud, you may be relying too much on raw tone and not enough on musical shape. So to recap the whole process, start with a drum first DNB context, design a characterful wobble using stock devices, write a short phrase with space, resample it cleanly, slice it with intention, resequence it like a breakbeat edit, and then shape it with EQ, saturation, compression, mono control, and automation. If needed, add a separate sub-layer to keep the low end disciplined. The real goal is to make the bass interact with the break. That's where the energy lies.